You're listening to Archer Radio. This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com. Today is Friday, March 17th, 2006. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I know I said yes, I probably wasn't going to have a show today, but then I realized, oh my God, it's St. Patrick's Day. You have to do something or talk about something. So what I decided to do was to do a little history of St. Patrick's Day, because I like the history of holidays in America and so forth. So I decided to go to the History Channel, historychannel.com, and do a little search for St. Patrick's Day and see what they had. And I came up with the history of St. Patrick's Day. So I'm going to do something a little different and read on the podcast. I know that's probably boring for some, but if anybody has any interest in the history of St. Patrick's Day, you will enjoy this little bit. And it's not too long, but I did want to, excuse me, just read this bit on the History Channel about St. Patrick's Day. And it goes like this. St. Patrick's Day is celebrated on March 17th, his religious feast day, and the anniversary of his death in the 5th century. The Irish have observed this day as a religious holiday for thousands of years. On St. Patrick's Day, which falls during the Christian season of Lent, Irish families would traditionally attend church in the morning and celebrate in the afternoon. Lenten prohibitions against the consumption of meat were waived, and people would dance, drink, and feast on the traditional meal of Irish bacon and cabbage. The first St. Patrick's Day parade took place not in Ireland, but in the United States. Irish soldiers serving in the English military marched through New York City on March 17, 1762. Along with their music, their parade helped the soldiers to reconnect with their Irish roots, as well as fellow Irishmen serving in the English Army. Over the next 35 years, English patriotism among American immigrants flourished, prompting the rise of so-called Irish aid societies like the Friendly Sons of St. Patrick and the Hibernian Society. Each group would hold annual parades featuring bagpipes, which actually first became popular in the Scottish and British armies, and drums. Up until the mid-19th century, most Irish immigrants in America were members of the Protestant middle class. When the Great Potato Famine hit Ireland in 1845, close to a million poor, uneducated Catholic Irish began to pour into America to escape starvation. Despised for their religious beliefs and funny accents by the American Protestant majority, the immigrants had trouble finding even menial jobs. When Irish Americans in the country's cities took to the streets on St. Patrick's Day to celebrate their heritage, newspapers portrayed them in cartoons as drunk, violent monkeys. That is sad to hear. That was my commentary. However, the Irish soon began to realize that their great numbers endowed them with a political power that had yet to be exploited. They started to organize, and their voting bloc, known as the Green Machine, became an important swing vote for political hopefuls. Suddenly, annual St. Patrick's Day parades became a show of strength for Irish Americans, as well as a must-attend event for a slew of political candidates. In 1948, President Truman attended the New York City's St. Patrick's Day parade, a proud moment for the many Irish whose ancestors had to fight stereotypes and racial prejudice to find acceptance in America. Today, St. Patrick's Day is celebrated by people of all backgrounds in the United States, Canada, and Australia. Although North America is home to the largest productions, St. Patrick's Day has been celebrated in other locations far from Ireland, including Japan, Singapore, and Russia. In modern-day Ireland, St. Patrick's Day has traditionally been a religious occasion. In fact, up until the late 1970s, Irish laws mandated that pubs be closed on March 17th. Beginning in 1995, however, the Irish government began a national campaign to use St. Patrick's Day as an opportunity to drive tourism and showcase Ireland to the rest of the world. Last year, which would be 2005, Close to 1 million people took part in Ireland's St. Patrick's Day Festival in Dublin, a multi-day celebration featuring parades, concerts, outdoor theater productions, and fireworks shows. So that's a little bit of the history of St. Patrick's Day, the actual holiday. But then I went on to find out a little bit about St. Patrick. I'm not going to read a lengthy thing about St. Patrick, but I did want to just give a little history of St. Patrick. Let's go to this page, because I printed all this stuff out. By the way, we are listening to music from Riverdance. I'm sure that some of that sounds familiar to you. I will not play it all through the podcast, I promise, and that's the same song I just played two times in a row. Let me just read this one little quick paragraph about who was St. Patrick. St. Patrick, the patron saint of Ireland, is one of Christianity's most widely known figures. But for all his celebrity, his life remains somewhat of a mystery. Many of the stories traditionally associated with St. Patrick, including the famous account of his banishing of all snakes from Ireland, are false, the products of hundreds of years of exaggerated storytelling. It is known that St. Patrick was born in Britain to wealthy parents near the end of the 4th century. He is believed to have died on March 17th, around 460 AD. Although his father was a Christian deacon, it has been suggested that he probably took on the role because of tax incentives, and there is no evidence that Patrick came from a particularly religious family. At the age of 16, Patrick was taken prisoner by a group of Irish raiders who were attacking his family's estate. They transported him to Ireland, where he spent 6 years in captivity. There is some dispute over where his captivity took place, although many believe he was taken to live in Mount Slemish in County Antrim. It is more likely that he was held in County Mayo near Killala. I'm butchering these names, by the way. During this time, he worked as a shepherd, outdoors and away from people. Lonely and afraid, he turned to his religion for solace, becoming a devout Christian. It is also believed that Patrick first began to dream of converting the Irish people to Christianity during his captivity. Oh gosh, this goes on and on and on. I don't know if I want to read all this, but so there was a real St. Patrick, and people celebrate on the day of his death. So that's the deal with St. Patrick's Day. Now, I think to most Americans today, it's a day to get drunk and drink green beer, wear something green, be silly, and just, you know, go crazy on St. Patrick's Day. My one side of my family is Irish. The other side is Scottish, so I definitely have the Irish in me. That sounds sexual, the Irish in me. Although I wouldn't mind having some Irish in me. Anyway, so St. Patrick's Day is today, and I hope you are doing something fun, maybe drinking some green beer and wearing some green. I already have my green, of course, because I'm recording this Thursday evening. I already have my green shirt picked out, so by the time you're hearing this, I'm wearing my green shirt. Now, instead of drinking green beer, I'm going to try to talk the boyfriend into drinking some green wine. Maybe we'll put some drops of green food coloring into some Chardonnay or something and make it green. That would be fun. I haven't thought about doing that before. We'll see. And I don't really know if the boyfriend celebrates St. Patrick's Day or not, because he's from Louisiana, and from the French part of that. So I don't know exactly what we'll do. I know he said he's going to try to make me some dinner or whatever, because I'm going over to his house. But, so that's St. Patrick's Day. I hope you're having a great great time with it and doing something fun. I do want to, let me see, because I'm looking at something on the web. Yes, I do believe that's true, what I was thinking. You know what? Okay, I want to go from St. Patrick's Day and wish everybody a happy St. Patrick's Day to talking about my haircut. I got, how boring is that? That's okay. We're the boring podcasts. I did get my hair cut after school, after work today, but I didn't go to my regular lady because she didn't have an opening for a walk-in appointment. So I went to the Asian lady that I've gone to in the past, and I just said, please just give me a trim. The funny part is that, and I may have talked about this before, I don't remember, But this lady tries to engage me in conversations, and her English is so broken that I have no clue what she's asking or what she's saying. So I just kind of like nod and say, yeah, so, and I laugh when she laughs, and I really have no idea what she's saying. I did, at one point, she asked about spring break, and I said, spring break is in April, and she goes, you know, in so many words, she's saying, are you going away? And I said, yeah, I'm going to New Orleans, and she said, with your wife? And I said, no, I'm not married. And she said, girlfriend? And I said, no, my boyfriend. And she totally shut up. That was it. She stopped talking completely. I'm not sure if maybe she didn't understand me or what, but I said, you know, when she said, with your girlfriend, I said, no, with my boyfriend. So basically, I came out to the hairdressing lady, which is fine, because I don't even know that she understands, because she's this older Asian lady. As I said, I can't understand a word she's saying. I just thought that was so funny. But I did get a decent haircut, and she gave me a nice scalp massage. And the thing is about with me getting my hair cut, it's like I start to fall asleep in the chair. So I really kind of don't want to talk to the hair lady anyway. So I was closing my eyes at different points to try to give her the signal that I didn't want to talk anymore. But she kept going until that question. And that shut her up, which was fine. She's a nice lady. So, yeah, I got my hair cut today. I'm not going to take a picture of it because it's really not that short. I really just got a trim. But I needed a trim because, you know, your hair gets to a certain point. You're like, God, I can't do anything with this anymore. I've got to get a cut. Well, I was to that point today, and I said, I'm going to go on the way home from school. So I did. I stopped off and got my hair cut. I did want to send a huge thank you and big shout out to Mike Hipp of Podcast Soup. I mentioned this, I think, a couple weeks ago, but you know, explained before, Mike Hipp has hundreds of podcasts that he listens to. And so at this point, in as far as the Podcast Soup has gone, I consider it an extreme honor to be summarized on his show. I mean, on his show, on his website, podcastsoup.net. I was very surprised and very honored to be reviewed 3 times this week on his show. I gotta keep saying show, on his website. So Mike Hipp, this is a big shout out to you, saying thank you for listening to the show 3 times this week and putting up a summarization of the show. I appreciate it. So thank you, Mike Hipp. I also want to send a big thank you to a couple emails that I got, I should say. One from Andrew of the podcast I Say, and he chimed in on the whole straight thing. He said that he's got a friend who is dating this, I think that's what it was, dating this kind of chunky skinhead guy, and the skinhead guy has his penis pierced. And the friend is a girl, so I mean, it's like straight guy, obviously. So thank you for that, Andrew. And I also got an email, because, you know, remember yesterday I was telling people to go to the Frapper Map and get themselves on the Frapper Map? Well, I got a nice email from a listener named Darren, and he's in Florida, and he was talking about sympathizing with me about there not being any Survivor for the next couple weeks. And he works for some CBS affiliate where he has to watch the basketball games instead of Survivor when he's at work. And I wrote him back and told him, poor Darren, that's terrible. But he did say that. He goes, I really enjoy the show. I've been a subscriber for the past 2 months or so. The first thing I received through iTunes was the Murder of Crows video. He says, several of the podcasts I listen to dabble in news, but I enjoy it most from you. You have a solid news-reading voice. It sounds very trustworthy and informed, but without the odd cadence of all the anchors use these days. The call-in show was very cool, and although it seemed to be a hassle to set up, I would love to hear another one someday, and perhaps even participate. Well, Darren, most definitely, I'm going to talk the boyfriend into doing one again soon, possibly next week, but I haven't talked to him about it. And if so, I will let you know in advance. And what I think we should do this next time is record like multiple shows and cut them off at like 30 minutes so we can talk to more people. Because as I mentioned after the last one, there were several people who wanted to call in, but we had difficulties getting them in because we talked for people for like an hour and didn't move it along. So most definitely next time, Darren, we will get you on the show. And speaking of Darren, he said that he put himself on the Frapper map, and he's got a picture there, and I think everyone should go there and check it out. And of course, if you haven't put yourself on the Frapper map, I think you should. So moving on to a different topic now. I was watching the news, of course, and there was the typical stuff in Iraq and this, you know, all the crap that's going on. But then there was this little brief mention of this, and it really pissed me off. I'm going to play this clip. It's only like 30 seconds long, and I want you to listen to it carefully. So listen to this.
Two notes now from Washington. On Capitol Hill, Congress voted to raise the national debt limit to nearly $9 trillion, or $30,000 for every man, woman, and child in America. President Bush is expected to approve the increase, which will allow the government to pay for the war in Iraq and other federal programs without raising taxes. The debt has increased by $3 trillion since President Bush took office.
Can you believe that? $9 trillion, the debt limit. They raised the debt limit. And they did it so they wouldn't have to raise taxes and so that they could pay for more war in Iraq. That totally outraged me. $9 trillion. And then they broke it down to how much each person in the United States. $30,000. That means $30,000 of my hard-earned money is in that debt limit, I know. But and then to hear that the debt has been raised or gone up $3 trillion under Bush's presidency is just hideous and criminal, considering that under Clinton for 8 years, the debt went down and they had a surplus for so long. And they squandered that surplus in the first year that Bush was in office. That's the kind of shit that totally pisses me off. I mean, I know that I don't have any kids, but all my brothers and sisters have kids. And that means for, you know, years and years and years and years and years to come, they're going to be paying this off. Being a Democrat and a liberal, I would be more than happy to have the taxes raised or at least roll back that tax cut for all those rich people to help deal with this debt. I couldn't believe that. $9 trillion. That's like nine with like, what is it, 12 zeros after it? Unfucking believable. Is anybody else outraged about that? That's fucking crazy. I couldn't believe that when I heard it. It's sick. But I'm going to move on, so I won't get stuck on that. Now, this next little story, segment, whatever, is really for the Mac people out there, the Macophiles, or whatever you want to call them. So if you're not a Macintosh fan, well, actually, you could be a Windows fan for this. But anyway, I've been following this thing all week that about this contest that was put out to for anybody who could make Windows XP bootable on an Intel Mac, you know, the new Intel Macs. Well, there was, you know, I was watching their little rumor boards, and there was word earlier in the week that someone had done it, but that they didn't really have anything to show. So then the next day, there was, like, pictures posted of this guy's computer with the Windows booting up on the thing. And then yesterday, which would be Thursday, or Wednesday, I should say, there was video posted of this guy having his iMac, 17-inch iMac, or maybe it was 20-inch iMac, I'm not sure which one, was actually booting into Windows XP. So he won this contest, and in the contest, he won $13,854 for making Windows bootable on an Intel Mac. Of course, there are problems with it. It won't load all the video drivers, and the eyesight isn't working, and things like that. But he was able to, you know, program it so that when the computer first starts up, you can choose if you want to boot into Mac OS X or into Windows XP. So you can choose that. And that was part of the contest. The computer, you had to be able to choose which operating system you wanted to boot into, and then you had to be able to do it without any emulators or things like that that would run it in the background. It had to run natively on the computer, I believe. So I just thought that, you know, that's like part of that whole Mac thing, because I'm a Macophile. So, and I actually downloaded the video and watched it, but there was no sound to it, so I don't know why he didn't have sound to it talking about it, but that was cool. So there's a possibility that in the future that you will be able to run both operating systems on a Mac. That would be really cool. Not that I have any desire to run Windows, believe me, but that would certainly boost the sales of Macs, because they're just so cool looking, and if they can run Windows, even better. After that whole thing was posted and the winner had the video and everything, there was a message from some people at Microsoft saying that in the next version of Windows, whenever that comes out, Vista, I believe it is, that it will not run EFI, and I don't really know what that is, but I know it has something to do with stuff on the Mac. So anyway, that's all questionable. I don't really know if it's going to work or not, but... So, that's the story about the Windows XP on the Mac. Let's see. I think that's all I have for today, boys and girls. Oh, my gosh. No, I always do this. Here I go again, saying I'm going to end the show, but I'm not going to a show. I inadvertently said on Thursday's show that I was going to have a guess the sitcom... what is it? Guess the sitcom theme song on the show. But I... totally forgot to do it. I said on yesterday's show that later in the show I will have a guess the sitcom theme song for people for Thursday, but I totally didn't do it. So I do have one set up for tonight, or for today, I should say. Tonight, because, of course, again, I'm recording this Thursday night. But as I mentioned on yesterday's show, the song from Tuesday's show was Newhart. Not the Bob Newhart show, not the one later that he did with, George and something, I forget that one. That one didn't last long. But this was the Newhart show with Julia Duffy and Peter Scolari. I can't think of his wife's name. Anyway, so, and I mentioned that two people got it right. Anyway, so now we have a new one for tonight, and it's Guess the TV Sitcom Theme Song. So listen to the song and try to recognize it. Let's see. Here we go.
Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paperboy, evening TV. You miss your old familiar friends with waiting just around the bend. Everywhere you look, everywhere there's you a heart. There's a heart. A hand to hold on to. Everywhere you look. Of somebody who needs you. When you're lost out there and you're all alone, a light is waiting to carry you home. Everywhere you look.
Okay, so did you recognize that song? That show was on, I believe, in the late... Was it in the 80s and 90s? I don't really know, because I never watched it that much. Well, I did watch it at the beginning, but... Anyway, those of you who grew up, I believe, in the 80s and 90s will probably know that theme song. So, send me an email, leave a comment on the website, let me know if you know that theme song, and I will reveal the answer on Monday's show. So, that's about it. Okay, so this is Friday, St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Go drink some green beer, and I hope you're wearing something green today. And this weekend, as I mentioned on yesterday's show, the boyfriend and I are going to wineries, and I'm sure we will record some audio and maybe some video. You just never know. You just never know. You have to keep coming back to find out. Of course, if you have me subscribed, it'll just automatically come to your iTunes. All right. But I did want to play music as I'm going out. Let's listen to some more of this River Dance. Oh, it might be too loud. Is that too loud? Okay. Anyway, we will play a little bit more of that and hope that you have a great weekend. And, of course, come back next week for more Arch Radio. So, Yeah. Don't forget to make your guess for the guess the theme song. Sitcom theme song. I have to get those words figured out eventually. Anyway, until next time, boys and girls, bye.
Listening to Archer Radio.